I wanted to ask you if your ears were burning yesterday. If they were, it's because I started the first class of my third semester of my first year in seminary, which I'm very excited about. And in the first class, right, the professor asks everybody in class to introduce themselves, say a little bit about themselves, and most importantly, how did they find their way here in seminary? If you don't know this, you are all part of that story that I always tell. I say that God's call, after, I ignored it for as long as I could, but it was relentless, and he wore me down. And I said, so I came to West Willow. I was just dipping my toe in the water, and the love, the grace, the warmth that I got from all of you just made me want to dive headfirst into this ministry and this pastoral thing. So you are always part of my story, and I'm so thankful for that. So if you're wondering why your ears were burning yesterday, that's why. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Pray for me as I get ready to deliver God's wonderful, beautiful words. Pray for each other that our hearts would be opened to receive the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we lift up this service. We lift up our lives to you through your Son, Jesus. Amen. So a mother and a father were frustrated with their two boys who had developed foul mouths from being around other kids at school. And the husband told his wife, I know what my father would do if I used those words our sons are using. He would grab us up and whip us with his belt. I believe that is the only thing that will work with these boys. Being desperate, the mother said, okay, we will try that first thing Monday morning. Monday morning arrived and the first boy came down for breakfast. He sat down and mother asked him what he wanted for breakfast. The boy said, I guess I want those blankety blank cornflakes. Without saying a word, the father grabbed him and whipped him good with a belt. The second boy had witnessed this event. He was standing at the top of the stairs looking down. The father looked up at him and said, well, what do you want for breakfast? The second boy said, I don't know, but I sure don't want any of those blinkety-blank cornflakes. So welcome to week three of our beloved worship series. And this study is it's a study on God's love found in the book of Leviticus and Numbers, seen through the lens of Colossians 3:12. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That word beloved is extremely helpful. It's extremely useful. When looking at the trials and tribulations of the nation of Israel and asking ourselves, why is God doing that to them? We can step back and say, oh, they are God's beloved. He has chosen them. So anything that God does to them, anything that God allows to happen to them, must be out of love. That applies to you and me as well. Why is God putting this hardship in my life? Why is he allowing me to feel pain? Why is he allowing me to suffer? Oh yeah, I remember. I am God's beloved. He loves me. So anything that God is doing to me or allowing to happen to me must be out of love. And when you believe that, that everything we experience in our lives is because of God's love, even if we don't understand it, even if we can't see His purpose in our lives, His plan in our lives, especially when we don't understand it, but we still believe it, the Bible calls that faith. And I'm going to tell you right now, because I don't want you to miss it, this sermon is all about faith. Well, why faith? To answer that, let's look at the scripture reading from today. It's chapter 14 in the book of Numbers, verses 20 to 25. God says to Moses, "I forgive my people for grumbling and complaining, but they are not going into the promised land." Okay, so this is important. How long does it take the Israelites to get to the promised land the first time? It's not 40 years. It's an 11-day walk if you were to walk straight from Egypt to the promised land. Straight. 11 days walk. It took them 18 months. In that time, God was forming them up as a new community, as a new nation. He was leading them. They saw Him. By night, it was a cloud of fire. By day, it was a cloud. He was with them. He was building them up. It took them 18 months to get to the promised land the first time. When they get there, God instructs Moses. He says, "Hey, pick 10 of your chiefs, one from each tribe." 10. Pick 12. One from each tribe, send them to scout the land. And they go off into the land and they search for 40 days. They come back. 10 of the men say, "The people living there are huge. And they're strong and they're mean and they're nasty, and there's no way that we can possibly overcome them." Two of the scouts say, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." Those two scouts were Caleb and Joshua. God says of Caleb, He said, I'm going to let him come into my land because he has a different spirit. Note what he didn't say. He didn't say Caleb was smarter than everyone else. He didn't say that he was stronger than everyone else. He didn't say he grew up on the right side of the tracks. He had advantages that nobody else had. None of that. He had a different spirit. Israelites have a choice. Who do they listen to, the 10 or the 2? Who do they choose? The 10. They choose the 10 wimpy guys, right? And they say, "No, we can't go in. We can't go in." And God says, "Fine. Have it your way. You're not getting in. All you who doubted me, you will wander around the desert until you die, and your children who are 20 years old or younger will get in." Now, here's the main point of the sermon. Why didn't the Israelites get into the promised land the first time? What kept them out? Was it because they weren't strong enough? Was it because they weren't smart enough? Was it because they didn't have enough? They didn't have enough weapons, enough food? No. Was it because they didn't follow God's laws close enough? It had nothing to do with not having or being enough. God kept them out of the promised land because of their lack of faith. That was it. Because they didn't believe that God would take care of them. They didn't believe in His promises. That was the only thing that kept them out. For those of us who are standing on the outside looking to the inside of the promised land wondering what is going to get us in, there is your answer. F-A-I-T-H. Faith. Everything God does in your life is to build your faith. He sent the Israelites back, right? They needed to build their faith. They needed to strengthen your faith. When God puts tests and trials and obstacles in your life, He's looking to strengthen our faith. So last week, I told you two things that I said are impossible to do. One is when we hold on to the offering, it's impossible to experience all of God's blessings. And that is more a logic argument than a theological argument, if you think about it. Because when you hold on to the offerings, you're focusing on them, and you're not focusing on God, and so you don't experience all of His blessings. The other thing that I said was it's impossible to experience all of God's blessings when you do not follow His commands. The reason for that was some of His blessings come through following His commands. So ergo, if you're not following the commands, you don't get all of His blessings. Again, more logic than theological. Here's the point I'm going to make about faith. It is impossible for God to give you faith. Why? Because faith is confidence in that and what we don't see. Confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. I've often prayed, I don't know if you have done this, but I've often prayed, God, why can't you just appear to me? Why can't I just see you? Why can't you just be here with me? And then I would believe. I believe God's answer to that would be, then it's not faith. If you can see me here, it's not faith. Faith is what you cannot see. When God gives us blessings in our lives, we can see them, we can feel them. You don't need faith for that. When God gives us blessings that are outside of the natural world, those are called miracles. We don't need faith for that. God says the only thing that kept the Israelites out of the promised land was their lack of faith. The only thing that is in between me and you, me working in your life, is a lack of faith. If you think about it with Jesus and his disciples, the one thing that he constantly chides them for is what? Lack of faith. They're in the boat in the storm. Jesus is in the back taking a nap. All of the disciples cry out, "We're going to drown. We're going to drown. Jesus, wake up." He wakes up. What does he say? "Ye of so little faith." Where is your faith? On the other side, he is sometimes amazed when somebody shows extraordinary faith. The centurion, the soldier, comes to him and says, "Please heal my servant." Jesus says, "Let's go. I'll come with you." And he says, "Don't worry. Even though he's miles away, you just give the word and he will be healed." And the language in the Bible says Jesus was taken aback. He was surprised by his faith. Could we have that faith that we would surprise and delight God with our faith? What does that kind of faith look like? It looks like this. It's when you don't know how God is going to fix something, but you know he will. I don't know how God is going to help me pay the bills this month, but I know he will. I don't know how God will help me overcome this addiction, but I know he will. I don't know how God is going to bring peace to the world, stop people from killing our children in school, stop people from losing their minds on drugs, but I know he will. I don't know how, but I know he will. Faith says, I don't know when God will show up in my life, but I know he will. I don't know when God is going to fix my marriage, but I know He will. I don't know when God is going to straighten out my child or my grandchild or my great-grandchild, but I know He will. I don't know when God is going to help me stop being afraid, stop worrying, stop coveting, stop sinning, but I know He will. I don't know when, but I know He will. Faith says, I don't know where God is going to work miracles in my life, but I know He will. I don't know where God is going to show up in my home, in my work, in my church, but I know He will. And when He does, it will be glorious. Amen. It will be filled with joy. Amen? Amen. It will be like nothing we have ever experienced. Amen? Amen. I don't know where, but I know He will. So that's what faith looks like. And here's the absolute amazing thing about faith. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter how much you have. It doesn't matter how bleak things look. At all times, faith works. In fact, the less you have, the more impossible things seem. When you know there is absolutely no way the situation is going to turn around and come out okay, that's when your faith can be the strongest. That's when it's the most powerful. You don't need faith when everything's good in your life. You don't need faith when you're doing your daily Bible reading program, which I hope that you are, and the words are jumping off the page, right? And they're going right into your heart. And I say, oh, I understand all of this exactly. And I understand how to apply it and how to love God and love others better. You don't need faith then. You don't need faith when God feels like He's right next to you, walking with you. You don't need faith in those times. It's when you're in the valley. It's those times that are darkest. It is those times when hope is long gone and you say to yourself, I don't care, I will choose to believe anyways. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I will not be afraid because I know, Jesus, You are with me. I don't know how, but I know He will. I don't know when, but I know He will. I don't know where, but I know He will. Why? Because I am God's beloved. My God cares for me. My God protects me. My God redeems me. My God heals me. He comforts me. And despite everything that I see around me that says that isn't true, I will choose to believe anyways. And I shall enter the promised land and live side by side with my God forevermore. Amen. Please pray with me. God, it really is that easy, isn't it? Belief. Doesn't matter where we are, how little we have, how bleak, how dark things are. Believe in You is what You tell us. Believe in Your love. Believe that You sent Jesus down to save us, to redeem us, to be with You together forever. All we need to do is believe, and You will provide everything else we could ever hope for or need. We ask this morning, humbly, on our knees with humility, help us with our belief. Help us love You more. In all things, we give thanks to You through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.